Welcome to the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. My name is Mark Steven Schwartz, and it is both an honor and a privilege for me to read the diaries of American and Allied civilian prisoners of war interned in and around Kobe, Japan during the Great Pacific War, World War II. This is episode number 28. We start with July 29th, 1942. Harold Brinckerhoff. We surely have some damn fools here. Monday, right after roll call, four fellows slipped out for some beer. We knew nothing until 9:30 when we had a special roll call. A guard had seen them turn the corner. Two of the fellows are in rooms on our side of the building. They came in about 10:30. They were made to go to the guards' rooms. We heard a commotion. We heard later one of the fellows got slapped. One of the fellows had this clipping from the Guam paper. I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States, reposing special confidence in the abilities, judgment, and integrity of George J. McMillan, do hereby appoint him to be the governor of Guam. Charles F. Gregg. Grant Wells was sick and delirious at the hospital last night, but improving now. Other men still running here at institution. Kangaroo Court explained the hearing to men, and that decision of guilt was reached even though evidence showed guard, Kubo, had given permission to leave, with perhaps a premeditated view to frame the men and punish all men. Prior to review of the case, two of the groups, about 15 men, said they would no longer abide by decision of group majority, as rule was partial. To make a long story short, several fellows of accused in their group had it in for me, so I offered my resignation to endeavor to restore harmony. Carl followed suit. Then the group voted to dissolve all government bodies, committees, etc., and start over again. In the afternoon, Bill Falvey was elected leader and Bill Young assistant. Group leaders met and suggested bylaws. Mr. and Mrs. Allen left with the other half English for Yokohama at 5:10 p.m. Roy Henning, reading Lost Horizon. Very hot weather. Poor Chow. Two men to the hospital. July 30th, 1942. Harold Brinckerhoff. Sakamoto is the one who's going to suffer for the fellows going out the other night. He is to be relieved of duty here because he was in charge when they went out. Sakamoto has gone out of his way to be kind to us. He has taken us shopping and on two hikes when none of the other guards have done a thing for us. Judgment has been passed. We are all to be confined to the house for 1 week. The head of all internees in Kobe suggested a month, but left it to the guards who decided a week would be enough punishment. Our kangaroo court met last night. They were divided on the guilt. I can't see where there is any question of guilt. They were either out or they were not out. There is to be an open statement on the case during the day. Bootleg news says Singapore has fallen to the Allies. I hardly believe it. We could not have escaped hearing something about it. A fellow who went to the hospital said workmen were cutting metal bars off the windows with acetylene torches. I am going to a geometry class that is starting. The day the boys went out, Sakamoto got the owner of the Mikado restaurant down here and gave him Hail Columbia about our food. Grant Wells was taken to the hospital with ptomaine poisoning. Several others were sick but not serious. Sakamoto has been our champion all the way through. I hope the guilty fellows will feel sorry when we lose Sakamoto. The open court resulted in asking for the resignation of the camp leader, Gregg. He quickly resigned, as well as his assistant, Carl West. The vote for resignation of all officers carried. so a reorganization took place. Bill Young and O'Leary were elected group leader and assistant leader. The police expressed a desire that no change of officers take place, so Young and O'Leary resigned. But Greg and Wes refused to take the office back, so the police agreed to our elected officers. The case of the four fellows was dismissed without any special punishment, so we all suffer equally. I hope everything runs smoothly until we get out of here. The men involved were Okapinti, Bacon, Frazier, and Clary. I would hate to be a group leader and try to please these fellows. I don't think that King Solomon, with all his wisdom, could please them. Happy will be the day we separate New York. There is a custom in the Orient to pay servants who have worked for you a certain amount of the salary they have earned as a going-away present. I understand Mrs. Allen didn't have enough, so the Chinese boys were a little put out. Charles F. Gregg. More meetings. Carl and I introduced new leaders to police and were told to wait a few days until Chief was back from Yokohama. Long general meeting on bylaws, an old structure almost completely restored. Bill Falvey resigned at 4 p.m., so Young appeared to Carl and me for suggestions. Result, Carl and I decided to get four groups, 44 men, in back of Young and O'Leary as group leader and assistant. Did so. Elections went off as scheduled. All but two of our old committee chairmen returned to the office. Those two were in other camp and were defeated, although Carl and I had said nothing about them. Father Marquette had been sick all day, and yet when doctor called at 4:30, he refused to send him to the hospital. After proper treatment at dinner time, Father Marquette began to perspire, his pulse was fast, fever, and through a little heated persuasion, he was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Oh yes, Mabuchi-san was elected honorary mayor of Siemens Institute. Roy Henning. Meetings held to elect new camp leaders. July 31, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Free from the bother of leadership. A grand feeling. We'll now have more time to read and study. After past 3 days, men appreciate thanklessness of the job, and Carl and I have sympathy of almost all men. It finally unearthed that three men were in back of the general shakeup attempt, and they are some of the worst offenders in attempting to get personal privileges. Have finished reading Victory 430 by Cecil Roberts, and now I'm reading Modern Man and Religion by T.C. Masaryk, first president of the Czech Republic. Translation by Ann Babiza and Dr. Vaclar Benes. A fairly deep book with an outline of the philosophies of Hume, Kant, Comte, Spencer, Augustine, Smetane, and others, including some modern philosophers. Roy Henning. More meetings, all new regime. Police more are spending more time in their quarters. August 1, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Police turned over two more rooms for the use of the internees due to Mrs. Allen's leaving. This made a good opportunity for a general reshifting of the rooms. Those who had previously been sleeping dormitory style were given first choice, and then the rest of us drew lots for rooms. Results. Four radio men are in Mrs. A's front bedroom, facing on the street, and with a balcony porch right off of their room. Fred Oppenborn, Jim Thomas, Bob Vaughn, and Grant Wells have separate room, and I am in the room across the hall from one Carl and I had previously. Dr. McNulty and Harry Burroughs are also in the same room, which is two beds long and 2.5 beds wide. I was fortunate in the drawing in getting both a private room and bed. Some got neither. In addition, the new room has a tall, movable wardrobe locker with five shelves on one side and a wash basin with running water, the only room of its kind in the house. Roy Henning. We all move rooms. Have room with Roy Hahn now. Very hot night. August 2nd, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. Yesterday was hectic. In the public meeting, they decided if there was to be a reshuffle of officers, there should be a redistribution of rooms, as some men have had private rooms for 7 months. There was a lot of arguments by the selfish ones who wanted to keep their private rooms, but they were overruled and a committee set up to reassign the rooms. Brunton, McNulty, and I lost our room. I am now in a room with five other fellows. They were all residents of Guam, except Houston, the Standard Oil agent. I drew a private room, but Durham asked me to come in the room with them, so I let my private room go. It has been fellows of the contractor group who have caused all of the trouble. There are some fine fellows among them, but on the whole, they are ill-mannered, selfish, self-centered, hypocritical, and unsanitary lot of drifters. Our internment brings out the good and the bad in us, mostly the bad. We are getting on one another's nerves. Everyone is afraid, the other is getting a larger share or enjoying some special privilege. Any unusual conversation or act brings suspicion. We are to be issued a sheet. The men in my room are Durham, Hansen, Houston, and old man Vaughn. Brunton got in the big 16-man room. Charles F. Gregg. Still very hot. About 95 degrees or more most of the time. Lots of men have had cases of heat rash. I've been doctoring mine and have consequently had very little trouble. Church by Inserti and Father Felix today. Exercise in the street 1/2 hour prior to breakfast and 1.5 hours after dinner, regardless of penalty for men skipping house. Sakamoto-san and Taura-san came by today, but could get nothing definite from them regarding exchange possibilities. Roy Henning. Sunday. Warm and humid. Reading. Finished pencil sketch. August 3, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Read Cecil Roberts' They Wanted to Live. Sequel to Victory 430. Today. Not as good as the first book. Did washing and sweltered in the heat. Grant Wells still in hospital. Food is good and bad by stretches. Yesterday good at noon. Last night had to send it all back. Spoiled and poorly prepared and seasoned. Harold Brinkerhoff. Our supper last night was literally rotten. Everyone sent it back. All we ate was our bread and we drank our tea. Roy Henning. A killer of a day, sweating gallons, work on library and arranging. August 4th, 1942. Roy Henning, read the play Mikado. Very hot weather. August 5th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. 11 months since I left my loved ones on the dock at Wilmington. How, oh, long will it be before I see them again? We hope to have good news when the Asama Maru returns on the 17th. It is so hot one hardly sleeps at night. I have been sleeping on the rubber tile floor. One perspires like a fountain if you sleep on the bed. We are surrounded by high buildings and there is hardly a stirring of the air. There have been sheets here for a week, but they have not been distributed. Since Sakamoto left, nothing has been done. The guards just seem to like to prolong everything. Our food has been a little better since we had the siege of ptomaine poisoning. I was broken out with prickly heat, but it has gone away. Some of the fellows are really suffering from it. Roy Henning. Read The Bridge of San Luis Rey. Very cooler, a little cooler today. August 6, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Continuing hot weather day and night. Continuing rice and wood pulp bread as main staples of the diet, with occasional good soup of vegetables. Still no exercise in the park, but walks for a half hour before breakfast and after dinner in street adjacent to the house. Have been giving bread left over from our meals away. It amounts to 4 to 6 pounds daily from two tables. Too hot to eat, much starch. Some candy has come into the house, about 24 pieces of small caramel type. A piece really tasted good. Thursday night had hard rain for about half an hour, and it is a little cooler, but sultry this morning. Tatuta Maru left Shanghai yesterday after taking aboard 400 and some British from China and Manila. No word about our own prospects of going. Fanny's birthday is in the States, but no use to send cable greetings. Thursday, gave sheets to each man, so they now have 2 sheets each. We had asked for sheets in March. They were brought to the Institute July 30th. Matsuda kept them in his office during 1 week of the hottest weather. Harold Brinkerhoff. It is 9:15. We have just finished our cleanup. The Japanese issued us sheets. We should have had them during the real hot weather. It is raining and the heat has broken a little. We should be able to get a good night's sleep. What a hell of a country. You either roast or freeze to death. Roy Henning. Read Idle Thoughts of an Idle Fellow. Very good. Made an inventory of my things. August 7th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. Today is little Kenny Katz's birthday. My little boy is 12 years old. I wish I could give him some birthday swats. I don't think I would be very hard on him. It rained again this afternoon, so we should have another good night. Some of the fellows talked to a well-educated businessman today. He said that most of the businessmen are free thinkers and are beginning to wonder what good the war is bringing to them. Today is the 8th rescript day. Our caterer was stingy. Every other rescript day, we have been given a dessert. Charles F. Gregg. Rained most of the day yesterday and last night, but still hot and sticky today. Sakamoto came by today and said hello. Very friendly and said sorry that Carl and I were not still in the same room. Went to park in the afternoon. First time in 3 weeks I've been out of the house. Saw Izumeda, who has expressed an opinion on being asked that if there was another exchange, we would be included. Said very few Americans still are in Japan that wanted to leave. Roy Henning. Brought a pair of wooden thread slippers. Raining. Much cooler now. August 8th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Reading Sorel and Son by Warwick Deeping, one of the best I've read since internment. Roy Henning. Read Peking Dust. Study Japanese writing with Father Pellet. August 9th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. The paper says that the Axis, including Japan, should prepare for a 100-year war. God forbid. The ferocity and potential of aircraft would make a war of this length an impossibility. The Asama Maru will arrive on August 20th. We had a big thunderstorm today. The mosquitoes are still quite bad. We still sleep without covers, but we don't lie in a pool of sweat. Charles F. Gregg. Thunder showers and rain today. Real old-fashioned sheet lightning and rolls of thunder. Since men have moved into rooms that Mrs. Allen vacated, the pool room is now open and we are allowed to play 2 hours a day. 2 hours for 74 men is not so much. Asama Maru in Singapore, and expected in Yokohama on the 20th. Still quite hot and stuff. No outside news. Roy Henning. Sunday. Went to the park and exercise. Reading Adventures in Contentment. Played 2.5 hours of snooker. Lot of fun. August 10th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. 8 months of captivity. I hope it won't be 8 months more. Charles F. Gregg. Grant Wells and Father Marquette returned from the hospital, still weak after 14 days of illness from ptomaine poisoning. No scuttlebutt, but Father Marquette received a letter from Mother in the United States via the International Red Cross, Switzerland, and mention made that our radio broadcasts of January were received. Roy Henning. Started writing Japanese characters this morning. Pleasant weather now. August 11th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. Two fellows who went to the hospital brought back some good scuttlebutt if it materializes. They talked to a Belgian and an English woman here on American passports. They said the Swiss consul told them they were to leave September 1st, and we are going also. Charles F. Gregg. Big naval battle of Solomon Islands. Japanese claim to have sunk or destroyed 2 battleships, 4 cruisers, 4 destroyers, 11 transports, 34 airplanes. Also short article on the United States starting a big offensive in the Aleutian Islands and being repulsed. 2nd British exchange boat left Yokohama for Lorenco Marquis. Roy Henning. News a big naval engagement. U.S. loses 28 ships. August 12, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. The paper says the most extensive sea battle so far is being fought in the Solomon Islands. The Japanese claim to have won, but the battle still rages. They claim to have sunk 28 ships as follows. Report of August 11th. 1 battleship, 9 cruisers, 8 destroyers, 10 transports, 41 bombers, and fighter planes down. The paper says today the Americans only admit losing 1 cruiser and several transports. The odd thing is the Japanese do not deny the American claims, nor do they say anything about the 28 ships sunk, as reported yesterday. The Japanese admit loss of 7 planes and damage to 2 cruisers. There was an air raid warning about noon. The red flag came out for a while. The sirens did not sound. The white flag of warning is still up at 6:30 p.m. We are to have blackouts tonight. A report said Tokyo was raided. I don't believe these reports anymore. They fly so thick and fast and can't be verified. Charles F. Gregg. Have read On a Chinese Screen by W. Somerset Maugham and Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. Indians in Open Revolt and Gandhi and 150 other leaders of Indian National Congress arrested. Roy Henning. Good weather now. Air raid alarm day and night. Slow day, read and study. Practice on abacus. August 13th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. We had a queer apple this morning. It had the shape of an apple, the color and skin of a winter pear, and the taste of a winter pear. We had a potato salad at noon with bananas in it. We get so little fruit, it tasted very good. The white flag was out all day yesterday and was just taken down this morning. I feel very homesick this morning. For breakfast, we had a small bunch of Concord grapes, about 12 in number. It is grape time at home. Spirits have risen. Everyone is sure we will be going home the last part of the month. The Asama Maru will be in 6 days from now. We expect to hear some news by that time. For supper, we had half of a sea slug stuffed with rice. Roy Henning. Overcast and warm. Start lesson 11 in Japanese book. Three guitars and three ukes in instruction now. August 14th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Air raid precautions and white flag, condition 1, in effect the last 3 days. Unusual activity and not like the previous monthly drills. Rumor of enemy planes over part of Japan. The people are worried. Kobe in blackout at night. No further news of U.S. attack on Aleutian Islands and little about the Solomon Island naval battle. Germans about to take Stalingrad and sank British aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean. No exercise of any kind the last few days and have not been to the park for several weeks. Skull decreed no music on the phonograph, piano or otherwise, except on Sunday and after 6 p.m. Still plenty hot, but cool breeze occasionally comes in to the warehouse apartment. Read Arches of the Years by Halliday Sutherland. Roy Henning. Finished reading Theory of the Leisure Class. Working on my drawing from the window. Took sun bath in the courtyard. August 15th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Scorching heat moderating with occasional showers. No exercise. Food still a bad quality, consisting mainly of bread, 50% wood, and rice, complete with worms. Scuttlebutt growing stronger and stronger as the Sama Maru do back on the 20th, and talk of immediate second American exchange is rampant. Will we soon return home? War news. Solomon Islands still banner news, with 25 U.S. and Great Britain warships and 10 transports sunk. Two Japanese cruisers damaged slightly, and 27 battle planes dove to glorious death into Allied warcraft. U.S. and Australian fleets completely annihilated. Again. Harold Brinkerhoff. Half of the month is dragged by. The Japanese now claim to have sunk 29 warships and 11 transports and still say they had two cruisers slightly damaged at the Solomons. Roy Henning, reading Love Comes of Age, Good Sociology. Good chat with a man at the silk shop. August 16, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. Today is my brother Spencer's birthday. I hope he is not in the army. An account says the American Marines had already landed on the Solomons before they were discovered by the Japanese. When they saw their ships being sunk right and left, they were so terrified they tried to get back on their transports. In a week, we ought to know if we have any letters on the Sama Maru. Roy Henning. Sunday. Played snooker. Very unlucky today. Had a haircut. Took long spell in sun. Read Life of the Bee. August 17th, 1942. Roy Henning. Rain through the night. Read Love Comes of Age. And this concludes episode 28 of the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye now.